إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي أبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فجزت أن سألتي الله سبحانه وتعالى May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions all together. Insha'Allah, this is going to be an explanation of the book Usul Sunnah, the Imam Ahl Sunnah, Ahmad bin Ambar, rahmahullah ta'ala. You all know Al-Imam Ahmad Rahmahullah Ta'ala as one of the great scholars of Sunnah who died around 241 Hijra. He was a great scholar of Hadith, likewise a great scholar of Sunnah. He was called Imam Ahl Sunnah because of his defense of Sunnah and because of his stance upon the truth when the Khulafa of the Abbasid dynasty when they interchange bid'ah and the promoted the scholars of Bid'ah. Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah defended the Sunnah and upheld the truth. He was imprisoned, he was tortured, but all this did not make him abandon his aqidah until victory came his way. During the time of Al-Khalifa al-Mutawakkil, three successive rulers were against the preaching and the stand of Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah, Al-Ma'mun, likewise Al-Mu'tasim, likewise Al-Wathiq. They were all against the position of Al-Imam Ahmad. And Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah maintained a stance concerning the issue on the createdness of Al-Quran, that the Quran was created. So the Imam maintained his position that the Quran was not created, that the Quran was Kalamullah Ghayru Makhluq. The Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not created. So the Imam wrote a lot of books. One of the books of the Imam is Usul Sunnah, where the Imam tried to summarize the Aqidah of Ahli Sunnah. And this report is a report of Abdus bin Malik, rahmahullah ta'ala. one of the students. So we have it where the Imam begins by saying, أصول السنة عندنا التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم. إذا أصول السنة, أصول is a part of the word أصل. أصل means foundation, and the word أصل can also be translated as a principle. So أصول السنة, the foundations of Sunnah عندنا, according to us, is التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, is to hold on tenaciously to what the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم were upon, والاقتداء بهم, and to also emulate them. To say the word usul is the plural of the word asl, which means a foundation or a principle. As-sunnah, the word as-sunnah in the Arabic language means a tariq, a path. But here, the word as-sunnah is talking about what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, the path that he was upon. And this includes what the Quran says and what the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains or establishes. So this is what the sunnah, not the sunnah that the scholars of fiqh will use. When the scholars of fiqh say this is sunnah, so they are referring to something that is what we do, that is recommended, not compulsory. So this is the terminology of the fuqaha. So where they will say this is wajib or fard, and this is what sunnah. So they use the word sunnah, which may mean the same thing as mandub, mustahab. So, but this is not what is being referred to here. This is not the sunnah that you are talking about. You are talking about that is the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely, completely. So the word sunnah can also refer to hadith, scholars of hadith. So the ahadith that they report, this will be called what? Sunnah. This will be called sunnah. Then the word sunnah can also mean aqidah. Aqidah. And that's why we have books of sunnah. We have Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Barbahari, Sharh usul i'tiqadi al-Sunnah of Lalakai. So we have a sunnah of the son of Al-Imam Ahmad Abdullah. So a sunnah lil-Baghawi. So many books written on what sunnah, talking about what? The aqidah. But what sunnah here covers more than what just the aqidah. It covers what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon. So how do we know what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon? This is what the Shaykh alayhi rahmatullah is explaining to us. Usulu as-sunnah, the foundations of sunnah indana, with us, to us, is at-tamassuku, is to hold on to bima kana alayhi ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon, walittida'u bihim, and to also emulate them. Now, when we look at this and the following statement وترك البدع وترك البدع and to also avoid بدع. The word bid'ah is from the word bid'atun. Bid'atun. The Torah is bid'ah. And it is part of the usul of sunnah to also avoid what? Bid'ah. Wa kullu bid'atin, every bid'ah, fahiya dalala. It is dalala, it's misguidance. The Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah brought this from the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One, we have the hadith of Al-Irbad bin Sariya radiallahu anhu that says, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives amongst you, فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, you will see a lot of disagreements. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ, stick to my sunnah, stick to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. تَمَتَّقُوا بِهَا, hold on to it. عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ, bite it with your molar teeth. Bite it with your molar teeth. Now if you look at this, as the Shaykh has said, that usul sunnah indana atamassuku. The foundation of sunnah to us is atamassuku bima kana alayhi ashab rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to hold on towards the companions were upon. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith said, what, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ, whoever lives long amongst you, that is amongst you, my companions, فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, you will see a lot of اختلاف. And that is why as Muslims and as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the fact that we see the Muslims divided, or we see the people divided, we should not be surprised that we see people divided. Allah has told us in the Quran that the people will be divided. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the people will be divided. So why are you surprised that the people are divided? What the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to do when the people are divided, when the Muslims are divided, is what we should work towards, is what we should do. Not for one to be feeling somehow that why are we divided. So this is something that has been concluded that will be divided. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated here in a clear term that فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ, whoever lives long amongst you, amongst my companions, you, فَصَارَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, they will see a lot of disagreement. Then he advised them, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ, hold on to my sunnah, hold on to my sunnah, that is my path, hold on to it. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ, and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me, hold on to the sunnah. This was the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the companions. He should hold on to the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after him. He said what? تَمَسَّقُوا بِهَا. He said what? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. This means what? Hold on to it. Then he said again, تَمَسَّقُوا بِهَا. He said again, عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ. تَمَسَّقُوا بِهَا, that is, hold on to it. Adu alayya bin nawajid. Bite it with your molar teeth. We know the molar teeth, these are the teeth at watch, at the back. So when you hold it, when you hold something with them, so it will be difficult for that teeth to watch, to escape. So he said, Adu alayya bin nawajid. Hold on to it, bite it, the nawajib, with your molar teeth. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa iyyakum wa muhdathati al-umur." Then avoid muhdathati al-umur, the newly introduced matter. Fa inna kulla muhdathatin. For every newly introduced matter that is in the religion, bid'ah is bid'ah. Wa kulla bid'atin dalala. And every innovation, every bid'ah in the deen is what is dalala, is misguidance. So if you look at this statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this usul that Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah has said, when he says أصول سنة عندنا التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So and he said what? وترك والاقتداء بهم, and to also emulate them. وترك البدع, and to also avoid بدع. And what is بدع? When we were teaching Mia Su'ali wa Jawabu fi Aqidat al-Tawheed, we defined what al-bid'ah. You said al-bid'ah is at-ta'abbudu lillahi bi ghayri ma shara'a min aqidatin aw qawlin aw amalin sawan kana fi asl al-ibada aw fi kayfiyatiha. Bid'ah is what? Is for you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what Allah has not prescribed. So any person who worships Allah with what Allah has not prescribed, or what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not prescribed, the person is doing bid'ah. أَتَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ بِغَيْرِ مَا شَرْعَ مِنْ عَقِيدَةِ. It may be what? An aqidah. It may be what? A doctrine. Today we have different sects ascribing themselves to Islam. Each sect has their what? Their doctrine. When you ask them what are the evidences for this doctrine of yours, they can't prove them. Those doctrines do not have what? Evidences. But this is what they believe they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Somebody believes that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the belief that his attributes should be negated. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as Sami, the all seer, the all hearer, Al Basir, the all seer, he says, no, Allah doesn't see, Allah does not hear. He negates those attributes. And he believes he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that position, with that belief. He sees you that establish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, Allah hears as what? As somebody who is an innovator. He sees you as an innovator, and he sees himself as somebody who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way. By saying Allah does not see, Allah does not hear, Allah does not talk, and so on and so forth. Negating the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his own belief. And he believes they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this. Who said this is what? This is bid'ah. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never taught this wrong aqidah to his companions. So that's why we say what? Min qawlin, min aqidatin, aw qawlin, aw amalin. Be it a belief. Some people their belief is that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are kuffar, except 7 or 8 or 9 among about 120 companions. To them, all of them are kuffar, except 7, 8, 9 out of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. This is what they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. This is what they have what at the back of their minds. We say this aqidah is what is batila. is wrong. This aqidah is bid'ah, is innovation. So you can't worship Allah with this type of aqidah. Because when we go back to the Quran, our belief is what? What we have in the Quran is that we should believe that the companions are good people. Muhammad Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَدُعَانًا. To the end of the verse. So, likewise, you see وَالصَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمَهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. To the end of the verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say good things about the companions. This is our aqidah. For some people, their aqidah is that what the companions are kuffar. The companions are what? Are kuffar. That is their own aqidah. They worship Allah with this. So many wrong aqidah that people have believed. Our code of statement. You see people saying some things. When you ask them, these are things that you are chanting. What's the evidence? Somebody chanting, Ya Ruqa Ya Ilu, Ya Dabda Ya Ilu, Arwa Bin Tadabil. Why are you saying all this? No evidence. What establishes this? They can't prove it. So this is what? This is bid'ah. This statement that you are using to worship Allah is bid'ah. Our amali, or actions. Some people, they innovated some what? Some nawafi, some fasting. And so many other things like that that people innovated. So we said, bid'ah is what? Ata'abudu lillahi bighayri ma shara'a. Worshipping Allah with what Allah has not prescribed. With what Allah has not prescribed. It may not be min aqidah, a doctrine. It may be what? Min qawli, a statement. It may be min amali, a practice. Sawam kana fi hasl ibadah. It may be in what? In the hasl of ibadah itself. Maybe the innovation is concerning the ibadah itself. Or kafiyatiha, or the hour of an ibadah. The hour of an ibadah. An ibadah may be established, but the person is doing it in the wrong way that the Sharia has not prescribed. So this will be what? Bid'ah. Another scholar will talk about bid'ah, haqiqiyya, bid'ah idafiyya. That is additional bid'ah. Maybe it becomes what? Bid'ah because of what? The way the person has done it, the time the person has done it, the place he has done it, the hour he has done it, and the number of times that he has done it. It may be what? The bid'ah as a result of that. But the actually, the basis itself is something that is fundamental. But what the person has introduced to it makes it what? Bid'ah. So they call it bid'ah idafiyya. They call it bid'ah idafiyya. Why something that does not really have basis, does not have a basis, this is what? Bid'ah haqiqiyya. So, watarkul bid'ah. And to shun bid'ah. You shun every bid'ah as what? As far as religion is concerned, there is no bid'ah hasana in the deen. There is no bid'ah hasana. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. For every bid'ah is ضَلَالَةٍ, is misguidance. Every innovation that is in the deen is what? Is ضَلَالَةٍ. We are not talking about bid'ah in the worldly things. The innovations in worldly things. Take for instance, the cars, planes, ships, they were invented. So all this will benefit. So these are not the bid'ah we are talking about. We are talking about bid'ah fil ibadat. Bid'ah with respect to what? To the deen, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no bid'ah happening. Every bid'ah is what? Is dalalah. So if you believe you want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught to the companions, that is what you want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, then you are guided. And with this, the division of the Muslims will be reduced, will be limited. But when one wants to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with innovations, with what the mind suggests to one, with what shaitan whispers to one, there is no doubt that people like that will be dividing the Muslims the more. So, and that is the way of the mushrikun. Inna Allah ta'ala takunu min al-mushrikeen. Don't be like the mushrikun. Min al-ladina farraku deenahum. Those who divided their religion. Just one religion that Allah sent to the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us what to stick to. The world divided the religion. Inna Allah ta'ala takunu min al-mushrikeen. Min al-ladina farraku. وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون فالله قال فرقوا دينهم ايش دين ان الدين عند الله الاسلام the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with is what Islam and that is the religion of all the messengers of Allah all the prophets of Allah their religion is what is al Islam ومن يبتغي غير الاسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. So whoever looks for any other religion apart from Islam, certainly is not going to be accepted from him. And on your resurrection, he will be among the losers. So but these people, what did they do? فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ They divided their religion. وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا And they became what? Sect. شِيَعٌ is a form of what? شِيَعَةٌ its sect is called Shia. Then the plural is what Shia'un. And Allah says, Fakanu Shia. Kullu Hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. And each Hizb party is rejoicing in what they are with them. So Allah let us know in this world that the people watch will be divided. The people who are divided and they will continue to watch, they will continue to be divided. And that's what Allah said in another verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَبْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ Certainly those who divided their religion and became different sects, you have nothing to do with them. You have nothing to do with them. So that the people are divided is not a news. That they will continue to divide is not a news. What matters is you should not be among them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us know that what? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom? You are not one of them. You are not one of them. You have nothing to do with them. So and that's why we have to stick toward the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guide upon. Anything apart from that is what is in guidance. Anything apart from that leads one to hellfire. Anything apart from that, this one to hellfire. Eh? And that is why the Imam is saying what? Usul Sunnah indana atamassuku lima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa liqtida'u bihim. You hold on to what the companions died upon and you emulate them. The Usul is part of what? The Usul Sunnah. Part of the foundations of Sunnah. So you hold on tenaciously to what the companions were upon. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا If they believe in exactly what you believe in, they are guided. When to Allah, but if they turn away from that, فَإِنَّمَا فِي شِقَاقَ They will be opposing the truth. فَتَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to suffice you, O Muhammad. He is all hearing, all knowing. All hearing, all knowing. So the point here is that the way of the companions is the right way. But today you see some people, the companions to them, they are what? Kuffar. Except 7, 8, 9 among the companions. Every other companion is a kafir today. So the one who say the companions are kuffar, will the person believe in the Quran? The person believe in the Quran. Who brought the Quran to us? The companions. Without the companions, the Quran wouldn't have gotten to us. So those people, they say the companions are kuffar in order to rubbish the Quran. And when they say the companions are kuffar, so they paved the way for themselves to call the Quran what? Fake. And that's why they said it, the Quran is incomplete. Incomplete. Some of them said among them that what? The original Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, does not have a single kalma of this that we are reading. Look at what a systematic way of rubbishing the Quran. And that's why we are telling people, those who have this aqidah, are you telling me they are Muslims? I believe in the Quran that we are reading today. They are telling us that the Quran that we are reading today is what? It's not Kalamullah. So are we the same? We are not the same. We believe in the companions that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was their age. So to them, Abu Bakr and Umar are what? Kafiran. To the extent that it is part of their own adhkar every morning, Allahumma al'an sonamai Quraysh, Abu Bakrin wa Umar. Oh Allah, rain your curses on the two idols of Quraysh and Abu Bakr and Umar. Are we worshipping the same religion? Are we practicing the same religion? The answer is no. So the point here is that if you want to be Ahlul Sunnah, there is no shortcut to that. You have to do at-tamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to hold on to what the companions were upon. Waliqtida'u bim. And you have to emulate them. And you have to watch, emulate them. Watarkul bid'ah. And you have to watch, you have to shun bid'ah. No innovation in the deen, be it bid'ah itiqadiyya or bid'ah qawliyya, bid'ah amaliyya. No room for anything that is innovation in the deen. We are talking about ibadah. We are not talking about the worldly innovation. If it is that, if Tadish Masjid, you can introduce whatever you like, you can innovate whatever you like. Ma lam yakun ma'aridan ishar'illah. As long as it does not go against the Sharia of Allah. Ibtadi'i Masjid. But when it has to do with the religion, it has to do with ibadah. So you should know that kullu bid'atin dolala. Every newly introduced matter in this religion that is as an ibadah is bid'ah. And as we said, if you are asked to define bid'ah, simply say what? Al-bid'ah at-ta'abudu lillahi bighayri ma shara'a. Bid'ah is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what He has not prescribed, what He has not recommended. Min aqidatin aw qawlin aw amalin. Sawan kana fi hasl al-ibadah. So this is what definition of bid'ah. And this definition is what's comprehensive. It explains what is bid'ah. You can't be a Sunni when you are introducing ibadat. So all your ibadat must be based on evidence. And once you know that you have made an error by doing an ibadah without evidence, you go away from the takul bid'ah. You go away from it, you abandon bid'ah. So this is what makes you a Sunni. What makes you a Sunni? So if you are not somebody that is abandoning the bid'ah, you are not a Sunni. If you are not somebody that is doing tamassuku bima kana ashabu Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not a Sunni. For you to be a Sunni, part of the foundations, part of the principles is this that the Imam is reading. And everyone has what? Evidence that Kitab was Sunnah. You know, these books, their beauty is that that they try to summarize what you have evidence for. So that you, as a layman, for instance, you'll be able to have what? A grasp of what the Sunnah, that is the way of the Messenger of Allah, is all about. You have a grasp of that. You may not know the evidences, all the evidences, but you know what the message, you get the message. Somebody tells you that he's a Sunni and the person is rubbishing the companions. You say, no, you are not a Sunni. You are not a Sunni. And that was why Abu Zur'a al-Razi, rahmahullahu ta'ala, said, إذا رأيت أحدا ينتقص أحدا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاعلم أنه زنديق. If you see any person speaking ill of any of the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, do that such a person is what? Zindiq. That is a munafiq, is just hiding under Islam. Somebody speaking ill of the companions, know that the person is zindiq, is a munafiq, hiding under Islam. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌ وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ حَقٌ. This is because the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is truth. That he is somebody who calls himself a Muslim must recognize the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as a Messenger of Allah. And he must recognize that the Quran is the book of Allah. وَإِنَّمَا أَدَّى إِلَيْنَا الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَنُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Okay, if you have said that the Rasul is haqqun, the Quran is haqqun, who brought them to us? Who delivered the messages of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم to us? Who delivered the messages of the Quran to us? وَإِنَّمَا أَدَّى إِلَيْنَا الْقُرْآنُ وَالسُّنَنُ أَوَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَنُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Sheikh said, not that such a person is a pig, is a monastic, he's just hiding under Islam. So the Sheikh said that those people, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ أَوْلَاهِ يُبْتِلُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْجَرْحُ بِهِمْ أَوْلَى. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ أَوْلَاهِ يُبْتِلُوا شُهُودَنَا. So those people, they want to watch, destroy our watch, our shuhud, our evidences, our witnesses, that is the companions, yubtil kitab wa sunnah, so that they can destroy the kitab and sunnah. Wal jahru bi ma'ula. They deserve to be watched, to be disparaged. Wahum zanadiqa. He said they are what? Zanadiqa, they are munafiqun. How come I call? So the point here is, never underrate what the companions are upon. Once you say you don't need the companions, what it means is that you don't need the Quran that you are reading today. You don't need the Quran that you are reading today. If you disparage the companions, you speak ill of them, that means you will speak ill of the Quran. You will speak ill of the Quran. So nobody speaks ill of the companions except that it speaks ill of the Quran. Not to talk of the ahadith. Not to talk of the ahadith. And as you see, the Rawafi today, they do. They do. So once you mention the name of the companions before them, so you see the way they react. You see the sorrow on their face, disapproval on their face. You don't want to hear the name of the companions. You can only mention few of them. But you see Abu Bakr, you have mentioned Akfar al-Kufar, the most unbeliever. You have mentioned that person before them. If you say that, so that's why we have to be very, very careful. It is important that we learn this aqidah. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in Iman. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on this path. So inshallah we stop here. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka. Now, how can we refuse the one that is using the verse وَفُلْ نَفْسَكَ مَنْ لَجِنَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِغَلَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُمِدِنَ وَجْهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient with those who are remembering their Lord, or remembering your Lord in the morning and watch in the evening. So you do not worship Allah. So sticking with that, the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those using this for dhikru jama'i, that is conditional adhkar. Now, when we talk about conditional adhkar, that is doing adhkar in congregation, We have just observed Salatul al-Maghrib. This is Dhikr of Allah. We do it in in congregation. So this type of Dhikr Jama'i is what? Is allowed. Huh? In fact, it is what? Wajib to come together and do what? The Dhikr. Is that clear? So there are some adhkar that we do together, like the salawat that we observe together. But for us to introduce some adhkar that we want to do them together, when we do not see evidence that the companions did them together, so this will be what? This will be bid'ah. We say some adhkar may what? May exist. There is asking for some adhkar. But the kayfiyya or the adat, the number or the zaman, the time or the makan, the place or the jinn, the hour may make them to be watched to be bid'ah. So we should shun all forms of bid'ah. Now some people come together. They are chanting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. They are chanting together like that. Oh Subhanallah, 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 or oh, Alhamdulillah. They are chanting together. Now, are we saying people shouldn't say Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar? You are not saying that. Because these adhkar have watched business. But chanting them together in chorus, this is what does not have watched. This chanting them together like this does not have what this is, except in instances like what during Eid, when people will be chanting, and not that they will be saying this, washing their watch, they are washing one another, but they will be saying yours aloud. I'll be saying my aloud. So it will appear as if you are chanting them together. But for us today, we want to chant this together in chorus. This has no what? Has no basis. So this is what is called what? Bid'ah. Idhafiyya. Additional bid'ah. So the dhikr itself is not bid'ah for you. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. It is not bid'ah. So what the companion did not do in ibadah, if you want to do that, it becomes what? Bid'ah. And we have just read, Usulu sunnati indana at-tamassuku bima kana ashabu, ma kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal-iqtida'u bihim wa tarku al-bid'ah. This is what we have just read. If you understand it, you will not do an ibadah except you have evidence for that concerning the hour, the time, the place, the reason, the type. So you won't go any better except these things that you have mentioned are what are there. So not that you just introduce an ibadah, somebody introduces an ibadah and try to watch to follow the person. The one that you follow blindly is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions what they were upon. مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلِكْتِدَاءُ بِهِمْ وَلِكْتِدَاءُ بِهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no evidence in that verse because the companions never chanted together like that, and he never used that as what as evidence. It was also reported by Imam al-Darimi in his Sunan that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu got to the masjid and he saw some people gathered here, and he saw some pakus. There was somebody in his pakus saying, "Sabbihu miya," say Subhanallah 100. The Jama'ah will say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Kabiru miya, say Allahu Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Hallilu miya, say La ilaha illallah already. La ilaha illallah, they will say that. So Abu Bakr al-Sha'ri saw this. So he did his tigrab on this, that he found it strange. Then he went to the house of the Imam, who was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, I saw something in the masjid. Though they were saying something good, but it was strange. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, you should have told them that they should be remembering their evil deeds. Perhaps Allah will forgive them. Perhaps Allah will forgive them and their good deeds, what will not be will not be lost. So when Ibn Mas'ud got to the masjid, he saw them the way he had described. The first thing he said is, Ya Ummat Muhammadin, O Ummah of Muhammad, Ma Asra ala Katakum, why are you people, you quickly destroy yourselves? He said, having thiyabu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tabla, the garment worn by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still around. That is, the people who did not take them as objects of worship. Wa ulai sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said to them, إِمَّا أَنَّكُمْ عَلَى مِلَّةٍ خَيْرٍ مِنْ مِلَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمٍ. He said that you people are upon a path better than the path of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. أَوْ مُفْتَتِحُ بَابِ الدَّمَاءِ. Or you are opening the gates of evil. And when somebody says this to you, you know you want to react. So immediately, there was a reaction. مَا أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْخَيْرِ. We only intend good with this that you are doing. So immediately he told them, كَنْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُسْلِمَ. How many a person who intend good and will never get it? Because if you want to get good, you follow the right path. Not your hour, not your desire. You want to attain success. You do it the way people of success, the way the people of success, the way they do to get to success. The one who reported this incident, Amr ibn Salman, said, فَرَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يُطَعِمُونَنَا يَوْمَ نَهْرَوَانِ. He said, most of those people in that gathering, that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said what he said to, he said, most of them, during the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was fighting the Khawarij, I saw most of them in the camp of the Khawarij. And that's why the scholars will say, avoid the little bid'ah. If you don't avoid the little bid'ah, they will grow to become big bid'ah. The Khawarij started from somewhere. They later grew to become what? To become what they became. So don't visualize anything that is called bid'ah. Avoid anything that is bid'ah. People are inviting you to an ibadah. Exercise patience. Exercise caution. Don't just dabble into it. Because if you enter into it, this may just be what? It may be a stepping stone to what will affect your hereafter. So that's why the Imam said, وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعِي. And to avoid all bid'ah. The alif and lam there is what? The istighraq. To avoid what? All forms of bid'ah. If you have vowed that I will not engage in anything that is bid'ah, unless if I don't know. And once it is caught, your attention is caught to that, you avoid it. Not to start arguments. As we shall read, inshallah. So that is another evidence against what they call dhikr al-jama'i. So they will bring general text. General text. So general text, you interpret them with what? With the athar of the Sahaba, with the practices of the Sahaba, with the practices of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad himself. So not just to take what general text and apply. The Khawarij, they became Khawarij because of relying on what? On their own interpretation of general text. So Allah A'lam. Now, concerning that the verse, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ فَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people who not please towards to disagree, to differ, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown mercy to. So there will be people that will not differ. That is, they will not differ away from the truth. They will not differ away from the truth. But people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not shown his mercy to, they will oppose the truth. They will oppose the truth. And when they oppose the truth, they will not submit to one another. They will not submit to one another. And that's why you see the Muftadi'un, they are what? Always Mukhtalifun. Each one will say what he has taken is the correct thing. Each one will say what he has taken is what the correct thing. Everybody, kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. Wa la yazaluna mukhtalifin illa man rahima rabbuk. Except those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown his mercy to. There are people who will not do ikhtilaf. So because they understand وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. If you differ on anything, you turn it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're always ready to go back to the truth. Always ready to go back to the truth. فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. So if you differ on anything, you return it back to Allah. Return it back to watch the Rasul. So this should be our attitude if we are looking for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are looking for his rahmah, the rahmah of want to be among the people of rahmah, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we always return matters to the book of Allah. We return matters to the statement of the Messenger of Allah. And what? We submit. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. So it's on the coming of a believer, male or female, when Allah and His Messenger decide a matter, for them to say what they have another choice. So whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger has what? Has manifestly gone astray. So this is something that is what? That is very, very clear. So the people of Rahmah are always trying to stick to the truth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَذَلِمُ مُخْتَلِفِ اللَّهِ مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for what? Huh? For rahmah or for what? وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. Did he create us for what? For rahmah, for mercy? Or he created us so that what? We differ. So we differ and struggle to know the truth. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that people were to disagree. So he created us who disagree and were to struggle. Some will struggle to get to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what? The show of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say let us unite, we say what? This is a good thing. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called us to. When he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَشْمِنْكُمْ فَطَيَّرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَعْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ تَمَسْتَكُوا بِهِ عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ نَوَادِ. What is he calling us to? To what? التمسك. He's calling us to unity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us to unity. وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So we should be calling people to unity. But unity upon what? Upon the truth. Not unity that we should forget our differences. Some people are calling to unity of what? Forgetting your differences. And that has never worked. And it will never work. It will never work. You can't call people towards unity in what? Diversity. The people, they have what? Diverse opinions. And you say what? They should all bury their what? Opinions. And choose which one. Are you telling me that if I have an opinion, I should bury my opinion for yours? Why? Why? Why must I bury my own opinion for you? For yours? So I should bury my opinion for that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَيُنْ يُوحَى. But for you to tell me to bury my own opinion for yours, why? Who are you? You are not talking about worldly matter. You are not talking about the matter of employer and employee. You are talking about what? We are talking about the deen, religion. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah has what? Completed and perfected the religion. So if at all you tell me to what? Forget what I said, that oh, you are wrong. You have to give me the evidence. You have to give me the evidence. Or if I tell you that, okay, I should do this, I have to what? Come up with the evidence that say this religion that I'm doing or this particular ibadah that I'm doing is okay. So Allah said what? وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So I think that is clear. We won't say people should watch very they are different. We have people who are campaigning, who are watch championing this today. Say you say your this are Shia, this are this are, then forget all these things. And wallah, it won't work. It has never worked. It won't work. You ask people to bury all their differences. Oh, they can't bury their differences. What you are saying indirectly is that one party should what? Should submit to the other party and follow their own watch, follow their own way. That is what you are saying. So Allah wa'ala. The question has to do with the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Alif Lam Mim Ghulibatir Rum fi adna al-ardi wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun fi bid'i sinin lillahi al-amru min qabl wa min ba'd wa yawma idhin yafrahu al-mu'minun binasrillah. Yansurullah, yansuru man yasha. So, this verses, some of our brothers, they use them as evidences that the Dawlat of Iran, that is the state of Iran, should be supported by other Muslims. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the Romans, that the Romans, when they defeated the Persians, that the Muslims in Medina were happy, despite the fact that the Romans and the Persians were kuffar, but for the fact that the Romans were closer to the Muslims than the Persians, that was why the Muslims were happy, were rejoicing, because of the victory that the Romans recorded against the Persians. So this is one of the evidences that some of the brothers that support Iran against the US, Israel. So this is one of the evidence that they use. This is not an evidence for that position. Why? The Romans were Christians, and then they were not fighting the Muslims. They were not fighting the Muslims. The Kuffar of Makkah were the people fighting the Muslims, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I will know that the Romans, they were given the scripture, that means the Christians were given the scripture. Yes, they uttered some things in the scripture given to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يحرفون الكلمة من بعد مواضعه. So they utter the kalma in some of their places. So, but these people were not fighting the Muslims. They were not fighting the Muslims. They were fighting the Persians. The Persians then, I mean the Iran of today. So they used to call, they would call the land Persia then. So the people were called what? Persians. So then they were fire worshippers. They were fire worshippers. It was when the Muslims conquered the territory that they brought it under Islam. During the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, that they brought the territory under Islam. So the point there is that the Romans then were not fighting the Muslims. It was the Kuffar of Makkah that were fighting the Muslims. So let's assume today that the Iranians or the state of Iran was not fighting the Arab nations, the Muslim nations. We can apply this type of what? This type of verse. But these are people who are what? Fighting the Arab nations. From 1979 till today, they are always having problems with them. In Yemen, they established militia, the Houthi. In Iraq, they established Al-Hajj al-Sha'bi, a militia in Iraq. In Lebanon, they established Hezbollah. All this to topple the government there. And funnily enough, when America invaded Iraq and toppled the government of Saddam Hussein, so they handed power to the Shia, who were watched, backed by Iran. So they handed power towards Iran. So they were controlling Iraq. The Hajj al-Sha'bi, the militia they established here, became what? Very powerful. And they were what? They were in the government. So Hezbollah in Lebanon were also playing what? The role of disrupting the country. So Houthi in Yemen, so also try to watch to take power from the legitimate government there. and they almost succeeded. So today they were controlling considerable part of what of Yemen today. So before the Southern alliance, so to say, came and what waged war against them, Saudi Arabia felt that what is territory was also being threatened from that angle. So they had to watch, they had to come for the assistance of what of the legitimate government there. So the point here is that these people have always been having problems with the Arab countries here, the Sunni countries, let me say the Sunni countries, they've always had what problem with them. And it is part and parcel of their program that they want to establish attache in those areas. One of their men, in person of Abu Mahdi al-Muhandi, is one of the way, he was the second person killed together with Qasem Soleimani in Iraq by the American government. Abu Mahdi al-Muhandi was saying that their problem is not with Israel, their problem is with Saudi Arabia. That they are going to watch, they are going to conquer that place. They are going to invade Saudi Arabia. So, these people, their case is different from the case of what? Rome, the Romans. The Romans were not fighting the Muslims in Medina or the Muslims in Mecca. They were not fighting them then. So, when they also what became enemy, the Muslims also conquered them. Then there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim that a time will come that the Romans and the Muslims will also come together to fight, to fight one enemy. There is a hadith that a time will come that the Muslims and the Romans will come together to fight a common enemy. And after they finish the fighting, the Romans watch. They will raise the cross. And the Muslims will be angry at that. And this will lead to issue between both of them. So you coming together with somebody to fight another person is not something new. The Muslims may come together with the kafir to fight another enemy. But that's not the issue. That's not, there is no problem there. But for us to use this verse, holy verse to Rome, to Admiral Ardi, to use it for the Shia Rawafid, no, this will not go. Because these are threats to the Muslims. Their threat is over more than the threat of the Israelis. Their threat is more than the threat of the Israelis. If you go to Syria today, an average Syrian will never take that position. That they should support what? Iran against Israel and America. Because they suffered in the hands of the militias of Iran in Syria. More than 1 million Syrians were killed in the hands of Qasem Soleimani and his boys. So they believe that for them to support, if at all they were to support, they will support Israel against Israel. An average Syrian. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria, their position is that it not support Iran. Despite the fact that the International Muslim Brotherhood, they are behind what Iran. But the Brotherhood in Syria never did that. They wrote something criticizing them. The Mufti of Syria, Arifai, the same thing. Because they are the new Mustafas. It's just like telling people in Brno and the like that maybe they should support Boko Haram against maybe one Christian group that has come to watch. They will say Boko Haram, we support Boko Haram. Because you know what they've suffered in their hands. So telling people in Yemen, the Sunnis in Yemen to support Iran against Israel and America, or telling the Sunnis in Iraq to do that, or Sunnis in unless if the person belongs to maybe some people who do not take seriously the issue of Aqidah. When they take seriously the issue of Aqidah, they will never do that. I'm living in Nigeria, but I will never support Iran against what? Against Israel or America. Let them kill themselves. Huh? But for me to say I will kill the end somebody who is abusing the companions, calling the Quran incomplete, saying the wives of the Messenger of Allah are prostitutes, no, I won't do that. What is my plan? So if the kafir is dealing with the kafir, that's your own problem. That's your own problem. Not to talk of somebody who is now suffering, watch the torture of those people. They are being killed, being displaced. Then you say what? They should support because they are what? Because they call themselves Muslims. Because they call themselves Muslims is not enough to support them. One, they are attacking the companions who brought the Quran. If the Quran is incomplete, they are attacking the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is enough not to support it. Not to talk of what they are also troubling the land of these people. They are troubling their land, killing their people. So there is difference between the vast holy room. The Romans were not fighting the Muslims then. They were not fighting the Muslims. So if you have a Christian people, for instance, who are your neighbors, and they are not troubling you, and somebody comes to us to attack them, who is the person, the Muslim, you are what? You have to support your friends. Are you with me? You are living with what? A Christian neighbor, and there is a Muslim who is what? Who is cheating in. Islam says you should watch. You should kick against that Muslim because he's doing what? Injustice. Just by the fact that the person that is involved is what? Is a Christian. How do you play? Not to talk of somebody who calls himself a Muslim and is disturbing the Muslims, the Muslim neighbors, is disturbing them, terrorizing them, they now have problem with a kafir. Somebody is not telling me that somebody who has been disturbing me, is doing all this, I should not support him. If I'm not supporting him, I'm not a Muslim. What type of fatwa is that? So not Allah al-afiyat wa salam. Wallahu a'lam. Which one is worse, bid'ah or major sin? Now, there are different things. One may be worse in one angle, the other may be worse in another angle. And they may watch, they may be related somehow. Every bid'ah is a sin. Every bid'ah is a sin. Are you with me? But not everything is a bid'ah. Is that clear? When you talk about bid'ah, bid'ah is ibadah. Is in what? In ibadah. Somebody is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something that Allah has not prescribed. That is bid'ah. But sin does not necessarily mean that somebody is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what Allah has not prescribed. So one is doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe has prohibited, or one is abandoning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. So when you say so every bid'ah is sin, but not everything is bid'ah. So bid'ah is related to acts of worship, ibadah. Why sin may not be related to that? Allah. Now I get let me talk on that argument. When I'm talking, I'm not talking from the angle that maybe the American military believes that the Iranians or the Iranian government claimed that America or Israel are launching attack from the military bases in those Gulf countries. I'm not talking about that. I talked about issues that preceded that. I said from 1979, so since the time that Khomeini took over power, so they've been trying to work to spread the aqidah, the tashayyur. Take for instance, Hezbollah has been established since 1982. He had established Hezbollah in Lebanon since 1982. So they have been trying to spread tashayyur in those countries. Here in Nigeria, they have what? They have a kind of people in what? In Zaria, two of us. So those people have the ability, the Nigerian government allows them, they will act like those people in what? The militias in Iraq, in Lebanon. They will go to that level too. So, you know, some people that became Shia in the early 80s here in Nigeria. Some were Sunnis before, but they were enticed. Some of them were dogmatized, so to say, and they become what? They became Shia. So I'm not talking about the issue of America launching attack from the military bases in those Gulf countries. I'm not talking about that. This is the present thing now. I'm talking about what is today that. Now let's go to the statement that American government is launching attack from those areas. Give a claim. Is a claim. Is it true? Is it true? Is a claim. So those governments, they maintain that they are not using their territories to launch any attack against Iran. And Iran says what? They are launching attack at them from those military bases. This is a claim. I as a Muslim, they asked me to believe one of the two. I will believe somebody that is closer to me than somebody who is what? Farther away. So these, they have what? Their own shortcomings. But they are the Sunnah. These people, they are what? They are Shia, Sababa, Sahaba. Those who are abusing the companions. Those who are saying the Quran is incorrect. So if they lay claim, they should be able to bring the evidence for their claim so that we can see. That's one. Two, America has what? Military bases in more than 85 countries in the world. They have military bases in Britain, they have in Turkey, they have in Azerbaijan, they have in Pakistan, they have military bases over in more than what? 85 countries in the world. So Azerbaijan is close to Iran. Not that America has military bases in Azerbaijan alone. Israel has, yes. Then Azerbaijan is also selling oil to Israel. And the oil will pass through what? Turkey. And Turkey gets commission from the oil that was he sent to Israel. So why is Iran not bombing Azerbaijan? Why not bombing Azerbaijan? If it is the issue of military bases, America could what? Launch from what? From Azerbaijan too. Could launch from Turkey, could launch from anywhere. Then, the first one that America launched, the one that killed the Ayatollah, that plane that they used, the tilt jet that they used, the tilt plane that they used to do that, when that plane was flying over their territory before it killed their leader, couldn't they stop it? They couldn't have intercepted it. Why didn't they intercept it? If they say they did not see it, why can't they excuse other countries that those planes that are also coming, they did not see it? I don't know if you get my argument. One thing is that a plane came into the airspace of Iran and that plane killed their leader. Why didn't they fire down that plane? If they said they didn't see it, their radar could not detect it. Why did they say that the radars of other countries must detect those planes? Have you gotten it? So if their own radar cannot detect the plane that killed the American plane, that killed their own leader, it is also the same thing that those planes could fly on the airspace of other countries, that they will not detect them. So to not say because those planes or those rockets hit their targets, definitely is coming from the close by countries. So this was to be a claim. So there are many claims. Today now America is what is very close to them. Why are they not firing America? That is America ships. Who are very close to them now. They should fire now. Okay. Let me ask, if you say the country that is representing Islam outwardly is Iran, on what? And I'm saying the same thing. If you say the country that is representing Islam outwardly is Iran, what are the yardsticks, the yardsticks, how do you arrive at that? What are the things that we see, that we say, okay, with this, we can say these people are representing Islam? They are clean. Okay. No, what I'm saying is that you say they are representing Islam today. They are the one representing Islam today. That is the area I'm talking about. Because if you say they have, they have 55% Sunni and they have 25% Shi'i. So we can go to a country that has about 90% Sunni and 10% Shi'i. Take for instance, Egypt for instance now, has about 90% Sunni. So if we do not consider Egypt as representing Islam with 90% Sunnis, for instance, how can we now consider Iran representing Islam with just 25% Sunnis? If that is the angle that you are looking at it, I want you to say something. I want you to say something that is, I'm expecting you to say something, and that is with respect to their military, we are with that. Their military power. It is because of the military power that you say they are representing Islam. I tell you that Pakistan is better. Pakistan already has what? Nuclear weapons. Iran is yet to have what? Nuclear weapons. Iran wants to go nuclear, and this is what the US and Israel do not want him to achieve. Presently, Pakistan is a nuclear power. So who is now representing Islam? And in terms of what? In terms of population, the Muslims in Pakistan are what? Far, far more than the Muslims in what? In Iran, both Sunnis and what she put together.
So that Allah,
Towards their contribution towards Iran. Let me talk on that briefly. You see, what is the contribution of okay. Your message is clear. Let you quickly comment on that. Well, let me quickly comment on that because of time. Okay. Well, let me. You say what is the contribution of Pakistan? Now, what is the contribution of Pakistan to Gaza? So it is Iran that is helping. Yes, you say, but it's Iran that is helping what Pakistan helping Gaza, helping Hamas. You know, this issue is something that we take time. But let me quickly talk on that. If you want to get this thing very well or clearly, you go back to when the Israelis started occupying Palestine. Just go back to time before 1948. Then 1948, there was a war fought between the Arabs and the Israelis. 1948, when those people declared their state, and they declared the state of Israel. So there was a war fought between the Arabs and Israelis. The Israelis were backed by the superpowers, America, Britain, and the like. And the Arabs recorded defeat in that war. That was 1948. 1967, another Arab-Israeli war. Israel was also supported by those superpowers, and they also defeated the Arabs. 1973, there was the Yom Kippur War. They were defeated as well. So these people, they learned to learn that what it means is that they do not have the power to confront these people now, not Israel. They know that any attempt to fight Israel, you are fighting America, you are fighting Britain, you are fighting the rest of the world, the Western countries, because they will come to their aid. So those countries, those Sunni countries, they try to exercise caution. And whatever they could give or aid, they give to the Palestinians. Then Iran never contributed anything then. So when Khomeini got to power in 1979, and maybe in 1982 or thereabout, he launches this an axe or whatever, Mr. Quds, and he formed this Fellahful Quds, that is a kind of body that said is protecting Quds. He formed it. So they never did any tangible thing. So what they were doing is for them to be watched in fighting those people, giving them weapons. And that was when Israel knew that the attack launched by Hamas in October 7th, that Iran was behind some of the things that it did. Israel went for Hamas and also went for Iran. The reason why Israel went for Iran was because Iran was behind what? Was underground supporting them with what? With weapons. So, and both of them, Israel and Iran, used to be friends in the 80s. It was Israel that supported Iran during the Iraq-Iran war with weapons. Even America then, during the time of Reagan, supported. When America invaded Afghanistan, the Iranians supported the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan against the Taliban. That was in 2001. 2003, when America attacked Iraq and overthrew Saddam Hussein, they handed over power to the Iranians. So they were friends. But now they did not want them to have the nuclear weapon. This is what the major disagreement between them. And Trump has said that if they have that nuclear weapon, they will be threats somehow to Israel and to their what? Interest in the Middle East. So this is what they are fighting over. So Iran is not representing Islam. If you say Iran is representing Islam, which Islam? The Islam that believes that what the Quran is what? Incomplete, that the companions are kuffar, that the wives of the Messenger are prostitutes? No, that Islam is not our own Islam. That Islam is not our own Islam. So, that is clear. That's only my stance. It's like you're asking Russia and America are fighting. What should be our stance? What concerns me? And then if America kills Russia or Russia kills, that's their own problem. The point is clear. See, is it once if they ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are they asked for Rasulah? Bil Huda? Liyudhirahu? Ala din kulli. Your intention as a Muslim is what? Is to spread Islam towards all the world. All the countries of the world should be under Islam. That is our mission. Huh? Islam started where? It started in Mecca. It spread to Medina, from Medina to Yemen, to Egypt, like that. Islam came to Nigeria through what? By spreading. So that they want to conquer the whole from Nile to what? To Euphrates. That's their own mission. Our own mission is greater than that. If Israel wants to conquer from Euphrates, from Nile to Euphrates, that's no. Our own is to conquer the whole world. So don't let people should tear us that they have this mission of conquer. We have mission greater than that. But we should work, we should do things with God with hikmah. Why do Master Tatum and Kuwa think they are trying now? They are trying to get what nuclear power too. So Pakistan has already had it, just as other countries have it. Don't let us speak this. No, the fact that you have nuclear weapon does not mean you should be using it arbitrarily. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Allah is the one.